32GI. Leading sports nutrition provider. Focused on health and performance. 32GI. Trusted sports nutrition advisors.
Welcome to this week's edition of 32GI Sports Nutrition. I'm Mr. Active David Katz, and last week we did a little bit of a focus on Challenge Roth, the sort of mother or the grandfather of the Challenge family, and what an event it is. It's coming up this weekend, so we're staying with the theme of triathlon and looking at Challenge Roth. It is a 32GI sponsored event, and we're now going to have a great pleasure to talk to one of 32GI's sponsored international athletes, and I've been going through a bit of his palmarès. We don't have too many things in common. I'm South African. He's German. We were born in the same year. He's about 4.5 months older than me, so we're both youngsters. I'm a little bit taller than him. I weigh probably a kilo or two more than him. So that's about where the similarities end, I think, is our date of birth, because he's also quite a mean triathlete, and I can't say I've ever come close to top 10ing, even in my age category. So it's a great pleasure now to welcome Horst Richel on the 232GI Sports Nation. Horst, thanks very much for joining us today.
Hey, David. Thank you for having me.
Horst, first, for people out there, I mean, there's so many triathletes, there's so many races going on all across the world, and fantastic to have both the Ironman and Challenge Series and other races in and around between. But a little bit of a background on your sort of racing history?
Yeah, sure. I'm a triathlete for a long time now. I started in triathlon in, I think, 1994. It was my very first one, I think, as a young kid. And I came from swimming, I tried this new triathlon thing, and since that I'm doing triathlon, and since 2009 I'm a professional triathlete. And I'm a specialist in long distance triathlon. I'm doing also a couple of half distances, but my main focus is the long distance triathlon, and that's my triathlon history. And do you want to hear something about my results, or what can I tell you?
Well, we'll touch on that. I'll maybe see if we can point out a few. So you've given us an idea of where sort of you start in triathlon. I was doing a bit of arithmetic in my head, being the same age helps. So you would have been about 12. So as you've said, that's quite a long time you've been in the sport, sort of over 20 years. For you, when did you realize that maybe the sort of short course, the Olympic distance stuff wasn't quite your forte? And when did you find that sort of niche of the longer stuff suited you better?
Well, I started triathlon as I told you, as a short distance athlete, and I was starting for Germany and also in the European Cups and doing stuff like this. And in my age, we had some pretty good guys. All of them went to Olympics. I think three of my age was Sebastian Dehmer. He was a under 23 world champ. Stefan Justus is still doing ITU, and he's tries to qualify for this year's Olympics. And Jan Frodeno is 1 year older, but it's the same category. So it was pretty tough competition in my age. And in that time, I have to realize that I'm not that fast, especially in the run. And my top speed wasn't that fast to compete against these guys. And our national coach in that time, we did some testing, and they were pretty strict and said, okay, we have already three guys, they're pretty fast, can run 30 minutes low or faster, and you are just a 31-32 guy, so think about what you want to do. And it was an age around 16-17-18, and so in that time I stepped a little bit back from short course racing. I finished my school and started studying. I studied sports science and history. I used to be a teacher. So, the change to long distance triathlon came a little bit later. I did short distance until I think age of 28, and at that time, we haven't that much races in middle distance, because today the guys can make their experience on the 70.3 distance and then step up to long distance race. And for me, it was a step from short distance to Ironman, because I thought, okay, now it's enough with short distance racing, because we had a lot of non-drafting short distance races also here where you could get some prize money, and that was also the reason why I did it so long. And then I thought, okay, I won here all the local races, and I want to do maybe a little bit of longer stuff. And I also raced Bundesliga in Germany. It's a race circuit like the French Grand Prix on short distance. And after a while, you know, you think about, yeah, what's the next aim? And so I thought, okay, I want to do a long distance. And it was more like a fun idea. I thought, okay, next year I want to do Ironman Switzerland. It was in 2009, I think. And I'm not sure at the moment, but I think 2009. And yeah, that was the start in my long distance career. And but it wasn't that easy as expected in the beginning.
Now, whilst you've podiumed in a host of Ironman events, both the full and 70.3, also in challenge events. Back in 2013, you did win the 70.3 in Italy, and you raced out in South Africa, down in Port Elizabeth, doing the full there. How did you find that experience? I know you were fourth overall, and I know you've been to South Africa previously with training camps, but how was your experience of racing in South Africa?
Yeah, it was the first time for me in Port Elizabeth. I spent a lot of time in Cape Town, or especially in Stellenbosch with Jan Frodeno. He invited me once, and since that I was two or three times there. And Port Elizabeth was pretty new. I just knew from some other guys who did it race that it must be a very nice race course, but pretty tough. And yeah, and the timing was perfect in the year, because it was still I think end of April. So we Germans used to go in the late winter time, so from January until March, to training camps in Spain, and after that you have a decent shape, and so you can do Ironman also in that early stage. So it was a pretty good timing, and I was there, and yeah, I was pretty impressed about the organization there, and I was even more impressed about the volunteers, because they were so crazy, and I think they had a kind of a competition with they have some groups on the run, and yeah, they make some. Yeah, it was pretty cool to see that the South African locals are so supportive to the athletes, and I had a very good time there. I mean, the race was also pretty cool for me. I was fourth overall, and I had a chance to do the podium, but in the end, yeah, you know how it runs. It was just 2 minutes back to second place, or around that, and but it was a good result, and it gave me the points for my Kona slot, and I in that year also did Kona, and yeah, I enjoyed it very much, and I stayed a week longer there in Port Elizabeth, and did some holidays with a local friend. He's a farmer, and I went to the R, or close to the R. It's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you guys know it maybe, but I didn't know it, so it was a kind of adventure trip after Ironman. And I spent a week or so on a farm with a lot of sheep, and me, my buddies there, and we had a good time there, yeah.
Well, Horst, I think a lot of people in South Africa, you'll ask them where Daar is, and they might, no. I mean, the Karoo is a massive part of our country. It's very dry. It's very arid. And a direct translation from Afrikaans with Daar means the vein. And that's basically it. All the different sort of rail routes used to meet in Daar. We don't have the most active sort of rail at the moment, but that was the whole thing. So you were literally almost in the middle of the country.
All right. Okay, cool.
Well, moving on now, I mean, you talked about sports science and studying, and having that background sort of as a professional athlete must be so helpful. And, I mean, maybe you wouldn't have specialized so much in nutrition, but that understanding of your body, does that help you now when you plan and sort of know and look at your diet in and around racing?
Yes, I mean, I had no special subjects in nutrition, but I get some basics from my studies, but I read a lot about nutrition, and I have a good network with some scientists in that. And so it helps me a lot during training, because this is also very important during the race, to know what I can use for fueling up, and that helps me a lot. But I have also to say that I had to try a lot and I failed a lot, because it's not so easy, and it depends also on the athletes, because you have the theoretical information, and sometimes this doesn't work out really for you. And especially last year, I did some really kind of experiments in nutrition, and it was maybe a little bit too much. And you need to do some experience, and and you need to know how the body works and how nutrition works for you.
Look, it's trial and error for most people. When you look at the endurance event of a challenge or an Ironman, it's a long time out there. It really is a science to it, but every person's an individual. But what are some of the sort of tips you could give to people out there? You know, I mean, there's the old one, don't try anything new on race day, but little things that you've maybe picked up that is some great advice that you could share with other people.
In nutrition, especially?
Yeah, around race day, in the build-up to race day, are there any little tricks you've learned or ideas that you implement that you think would be useful for anyone out there that is maybe looking at sort of finding out more, finding out a strategy for themselves?
Yeah, okay, all right. No, there are a lot of tips. I found it very helpful because everyone talks about carbo loading in the week before the race, and Some guys are doing kind of a saltine diet. Saltine diet is known as a low carb fat diet. You started 1 week before the race, and then you reduce your carb intake, and the last 3 days before the race you're just doing carbo loading. And the most people know about pasta parties and carbo loading, and think, okay, I have to eat a lot, as much as possible to have enough energy. But they don't think about that your energy stores are maybe already full, so you cannot make your tank bigger. So you have to make sure that that you're fueled up very well. And especially in the last day before the race, I found it very helpful, because I did it also in the first races. I ate all the day good carbs, but I have all the time this full stomach, and felt not so much. And the problem with that is that your sleep quality is quite bad. I mean, the day before the race, the sleep quality is never good, but you can make it better. And if you start eating, or you make your last big meal maybe more in the middle of the day, and in the evening you just eat normal and not doing kind of a freaked out pasta party and going with full stomach into the bed. And I found this really helpful, because you sleep very, very good. And also in the morning, you have a natural feeling for your breakfast, because sometimes you don't have any kind of you don't want to eat breakfast because you're so full from the last night of pasta party or something of that. And I found this is very helpful in nutritional thing. And you don't have to overthink it. It's also experience stuff. And but eating in the night before the race or not eating not so much, it's quite helpful, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you, and some great sort of tips there. I mean, that sort of overfilling your tank is just not a good idea. Rather, build up slowly during the week. Mark Wolf has done a podcast recently where we looked at the build up and sort of progress to and through a whole race day. So I'll put the link up on the show notes of this episode for anyone listening who wants to go find that out. Talking about Mark Wolf, he's off to do Challenge Roth for the first time. I know you did it last year. You're German. Challenge Roth is arguably the greatest triathlon in the world. I mean, from a support perspective, it is by far the best triathlon in the world. But having been there as a German, what makes this race so special?
Yeah, it's pretty unique. It's kind of the Wimbledon of triathlon, because that race takes place not in a big city. It's more in an area where just small villages are. But interesting is that the whole community stands really behind the race. And this is not just a talk. If you're going to watch Challenge Ross live, you will feel it, because everyone, even if the old woman or the people in the supermarket, they know about Challenge Ross, and they are so supportive, and it's pretty unique, because also you have this massive people of cheering for you. You know, it's maybe you know the pictures of Solara Hill. You have a thousand of people, like in the Tour de France. It's really pushing you to the limit. You have to be very careful not to push too hard. And so this is very special. You don't have it somewhere else, I think, because I did a lot of racing. I was also in Frankfurt and Hawaii, and you haven't this kind of crazy crowds in that amount on the course. So it's pretty cool. And also the run finish in the stadium, it's a kind of arena, and you run there through the finish, and there are a lot of people there. And even before the cutoff is for the last finishers, the arena is pretty packed. I mean, in the middle of the day, okay, there are more or less people there, but for the top pros and for the last one, the arena is so full, and there's this nice fireworks after the last finisher, and it's very theatralic. But it's kind of a show there, and so it's pretty nice, and the community is very supportive, and maybe you also heard about it. There are really no hotels there, and so they have this unique homestay program. So you can book a house or a flat maybe, but there are not really a lot of hotel rooms. So they have this homestay program. So you get into a family, and they are very. They are big triathlon fans, and they will support you as much as possible, even as an age grouper. So not talking about the pros, and so it's pretty nice there, and very supportive. I was there in 2012, the first time as a supporter of my teammate Timo Bracht. He won that race already, and well, it was the first time I experienced that, and it was a little bit strange in the beginning, because hey, the people are so nice and so friendly. I mean, this is cool, but it's, you know, the Germans are sometimes a little bit silent, and even if the people are coming from another part of Germany or from the world, they are in the beginning a little bit, they're not so open sometimes, but there it's pretty cool. They are very supportive, and that makes that race very unique.
Well, I'm looking forward to Challenge Roth this week, and if you haven't been there, if you haven't even had a chance to see what it's like and to get a feel of that atmosphere, they are going to have both English and German commentary sort of online, so go over to the Challenge Roth website. I'll put that up in the show notes as well. Horst, just before I let you go, what's on the agenda for you? I know Challenge recently launched, which will debut next year. They've got a half-distance sort of world championship, and what I love about that is all points count. If you're doing Ironman, if you're doing Challenge, all those points go in and you can get your place there. Is that possibly something on your agenda? And what can we look out for your racing sort of over the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, I'm already qualified for the Challenge World Championships in Summerin, because I had a podium place in Challenge Heilbronn. It was the German Championships, so I will be there, I think, next year. I'm looking forward for that, and I'm now in the preparation for Ironman Copenhagen. It's next month, and before that I will do some last small racing, and end of the year I will do maybe Challenge Paguera in Mallorca. It's a very pretty place there, and yeah, I'm looking forward for next year coming back maybe to Roth, because I had a very nice experience there, and maybe racing there. But it depends a little bit on my main focus, because I want to maybe go to Hawaii. But if I start with early qualifying, then I can go to Roth. So I'm looking forward to be there, even if I'm just a volunteer or a supporter for a friend or so.
Well, Horst Reichel, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. You know, I feel like we could talk for hours. Very insightful. And thanks for joining us on 32GI Sports Nutrition. From myself, David Katzmann-Stactive, I'll be back next week. We'll do a little recap on Roth. But, Horst, just before we do actually let you go, I know you have a website. Are you on Twitter? How can people follow you?
Yeah, the easiest thing, my website is at the moment not up to date, really. Okay, there's some new blog posts, but the best thing is to go on my Facebook fan page, it's Horst Reichel, just, or to go on my Instagram account, because I think this is the new thing at the moment. I'm not so into it, but I try my best, and I know Mark is also there, and he did some pretty cool posts about nutrition, especially. So you can follow me there, even on Twitter, but more on Instagram and Facebook.
Well, Horst, we'll put those up on the show notes if people want to click through and follow you. All the best for the upcoming year and upcoming events. And once again, Horst Rehe Health, thank you very much for chatting to us.
32 GI. Leading sports nutrition provider. Focused on health and performance. 32 GI. Trusted sports nutrition advisors.